The four winds from all directions. The four winds is my title this morning, and our opening text this morning, if you have your Bible, it'll be on the screen, is Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1, and it says this: "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that were covered, that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' And then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.'" Verse 5. This is what the sovereign Lord says: "Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And so I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together. They attached themselves as complete skeletons. I watched muscles and flesh form over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them." Verse 9. "And then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' And so I spoke a message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel, and they are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All our hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open the graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, I, the Lord, have spoken." And so this morning, as we break down our text, it says that the Spirit of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, carried away this man and into a vision, and he saw this valley of dry bones. The hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, was upon this man, and it caused him to see this great vision. The hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And so if you think for a minute, and it's important to understand, when I read the Bible, for me, I'm not just looking as it's a history book, but yes, it is a history book because these things happen. I'm not just looking as a scientific book because there's science things that have happened in this book. I'm not just looking as a story because it's way more than a story. This is the Bible. This is the living word of God. These are stories and places and peoples, all of them that have come true, all of these things. You can visit these places. You can visit some of these tombs. These people are the real deal. And so to understand the text, and for me when I read the text, it's to understand, I want to know every part of the text. I want to dig like I'm digging for treasure, like I'm digging for gold, like Gold Rush. I'm going after every ounce, every piece of gold, every treasure. When I open up this, to go after everything. And so I understand to say that the hand of the Lord, the Spirit, carried this man. It's important to understand that all throughout the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, carried many people. We know that Noah, I don't know if you guys know a guy named Noah, but in the Old Testament, Noah built a boat. This was longer than a football field. I don't know if we have any football fans. The real football field, this boat was longer than a football field. Now, I don't know about you. I have a few home projects that I need to finish. I don't know about if you have any home projects you need to finish. I cannot imagine building a boat that is longer than a football field. That would be, how many of us men or ladies would just give him and say, that's just too big? And so the Spirit of the Lord filled Noah and helped empower Noah to build something that was bigger than himself. We know that Daniel, in the lion's den, if I was a man and I was thrown into a lion's den with hungry lions, I would be freaked out of my mind. But here's a man, again, carried, filled with the Spirit of God, so that not one lion ate Daniel. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know that these three young, handsome studs were thrown into a fire, and the Spirit of the Lord protected these three men. The Spirit of the Lord filled and consumed these men so that they were not burnt at all. We know David, King David, a mighty warrior and a mighty worship leader, who took down giants, who took down armies, who did great things. How? Because he was filled and consumed with the Spirit of the living God. So it's important to understand, when we talk about the hand of the Lord, when we talk about the Spirit of the Lord filling this man to see this thing, it's important to ask myself, it's important to ask ourselves, is God's Spirit on me? Is his hand upon my life? Everywhere I go and everything that I do, because if his Spirit is in me and his hand is upon my life, good things are going to happen. God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way, right? So God carries him to the Valley of Dry Bones. I don't know if you've ever been to this place. It's not called Hemet, don't worry. The Valley of Dry Bones. Have you ever been to a place in life where everything just seems dry? Everything seems a little dusty. Everything seems a little dirty. Everything seems, and I'm not talking about the deserts that we live by, Palm Springs and out there. But sometimes in our emotional life, in our mental state, we go through dry periods of life. We go through areas where it just seems like everything just seems broken. And this is a spot that Ezekiel was carried to. It's a spot where it's called the Valley of Bones. And the picture that God was painting for Ezekiel, it was a large valley, kind of like the one that we lived in, that was full of dead, dry bones. Men who gave their lives in battles, filled. So it was this horrific battle scene where men died. And there might have been a few ladies, right? Back then, mostly it was men who fought, but there might have been a few ladies there. In the picture that he was painting, this was a very gross, horrific loss of humanity. But secondly, the picture that God was painting to Ezekiel, and this is a big one. This is a really big one. The picture he was painting was, he said, this is the attitude, like this valley, that my sons and my daughters have. This is the attitude of the Jewish people. This is the attitude that the Jewish people have. And it's hard and it's easy to understand for me. The Jewish people, how many of us know that, like the Jewish people, many of us, there's times in life where we're really good, man. We're, you know, we're straight A students all the time, right? Where we're doing all our homework, where we're doing all the jobs that our boss asks us to do. We're just so happy. We're grinning from ear to ear. We're just, man, we're so pumped about life and doing good things. And then at other times, it's like, it's time to be a little lazy, right? It's time to let a few things a little slip, right? The Jewish people, every time they got into that mode of, I think I can just let life slip a little bit. Nobody's watching. I can just do some things maybe I shouldn't do right now. Every time they got into the mode of doing wrong things, bad things happened to them. And in this story and in this time, the Jewish people found themselves being taken captive. They were taken from their homeland. They were taken to another land. They were forced to be people and around people that they weren't their home. It wasn't their country. It wasn't their place. They missed the house with the white picket fence, and they missed their dog, Mac and Stella. They missed all those things that were at home. They missed the smell of, you know, bread coming from their oven, all those things that they loved at home. But at some point, their attitude, and again, for me, it would be easy to understand, started to think and started to say to themselves, life is just not going to be good anymore. God will never help me out again. I can't. I won't. Helpless. Hopeless. You know, in such a dark situation, a feeling that no one ever will come to my rescue. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it's like, I don't see any way out. I don't know if anyone, if there could be anybody, is there anybody I know who could help me? Is there anyone in my life, anyone, any strangers, or any person who can help me get out of this? And so for the Jewish people, in this moment, in the picture of this valley of dry bones, God was painting a picture to Ezekiel to paint to his kids. This has become your attitude. It's dark, it's dirty, it's dusty. And how many of us have learned in life, attitude's important. Attitude is a big deal. If you were to look up attitude, and this is what we love about our phones, asking Mr. Google, or Mrs. Google, sorry, attitude defined is, attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something reflecting their own behavior. Attitude is a mental state of saying, I'm not going to cooperate with anybody. I'm not going to cooperate with anybody. It's a bad mental state of mind. It's resentful. Attitude, the way we respond, is it positive or negative? We're not talking about batteries. Toward a certain idea, an object, a person, a situation, emotions, belief, behavior toward a person, object, a thing, or event, resulting from experience, upbringing, and friend circles. Attitude results from an experience, upbringing, friend circles. To think, feel, and act. Attitude. It describes a complex system of our thoughts and emotions. A complex, because how many of us know we're so complex, right? I mean, we're wonderful and amazing. Yes, we are. We're just happy-go-lucky all the time, but we're complex too, right? An attitude describing a complex system of thoughts, emotions that can be changed or adapted by experience or knowledge. And so God painted this vivid, vivid picture, one of death, one of tragedy, to see a battlefield that was just ravaged. It's the, whoever it was died and they were all laid out. And nothing was left but their bones. And then he paints the other picture that this is how, unfortunately, my sons and my daughters, their attitude looks, having no hope. And I wonder today, how many of us know somebody who has no hope? I wonder how many of us in our friend circles or in our jobs or in this valley, the beautiful valley that we live in, know at least one person who has no hope. I don't see a way out. I don't know how I'm going to get out. It's like being locked in. Now, if I was going to be, you know, stuck in a house, I would like to choose to be in a house if I knew I was going to be stuck, you know, that had nice carpeting, paint smelled good, right? There was no dog pee anywhere. Just had plenty of food, right? Donuts and chocolate, bonbons, chocolate ice cream. If I was going to be stuck in a house, I want it to be nice. But to be stuck in maybe like a little tiny box. One time I had the privilege of going with my brother-in-law down to Mexico. We were roofing in New Mexico, and I was 19 at the time. And when we were down there, we decided to get in a little trouble. And for some reason, you know, six roofers walking down the street in Mexico, they decided to pick us up and throw us in jail. And the jail had already had one guy in there, but there was other five, because they took five of us and they left my brother-in-law to chase the car so he can, you know, pay him when he got there. But anyway, the cell that they put us in was so teeny tiny. It was like a 4x4 cell. And if I was going to be stuck there for a long period of time, I don't think I'd be very happy. My attitude would probably change pretty quick. This is how the people were. And depending on what kind of box life puts us in, I wonder how it changes our attitude. Depending on what kind of fast-pitch curveball gets thrown at us, how does it reflect how I respond with what's been given to me? And so God says to Ezekiel, he says a question. And this is a pretty hard question. He says, do you think I could speak to these bones and they would become living beings? Now, if God was asked us the same question, most of us are thinking, heck no. How would bones, how would dead things, dead bones on the ground, how could they come back to life? And he asked this question. And so this guy is smart. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, he was a smart guy. He was a smart guy because he turns it back to God and says, God, well, you know. Maybe I don't know, So he didn't respond with how he felt. He turned it back to God and said, well, God, you know what you can do. You know what you can do. See, sometimes in our heads, we do the wrong response. God comes and he says, do you think that I can do this for you? And fortunately, sometimes when we're stuck in a bad place, and maybe having a bad attitude, it's, probably not. Probably not. God, you probably, couldn't do this. You probably wouldn't want to do this for me because I've been such a bad person. I'm a meanie head. I've been so rude. I've done so many bad things in my life. Many times the response that we have towards God, if God wants to do something great, amazing, and powerful in our life, how do we respond to the question that he may ask of us? And so that he says to Ezekiel, he says, I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak. And I want you to say to these bones, you're going to come alive. You're going to be filled with flesh and skin and blood and all those things, wonderful things that make up these wonderful human bodies. And so Ezekiel speaks. And all of a sudden, as he's speaking, he hears this great rattling, and all the bones start shaking, and they're coming together, and they form skeletons. And as soon as they form skeletons, next thing you know, flesh and muscles start to appear, and they form bodies all over this valley. But as soon as they form, they just were there, and they were lifeless. So then God says to him, I want you to speak again. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have to speak again. He says, you're going to speak to the four winds, north, east, south, west, from every direction. Ezekiel, you're going to speak and you're going to command the wind to come and to fill these people with the breath of God. And so Ezekiel speaks again, and instantly it says they're filled with the breath of God. Immediately they stand up, and it says that they are this great army of men standing ready and now living beings again. And so as Ezekiel's sitting there to try and picture the moment, and I don't know if you can picture in your head this great moment of one, you're being carried by the Spirit of the Lord, you're having this vision, you see all these dry bones, next thing you know you hear this loud rattling. And so to pause for a second on the rattling noise, have you ever just had in your gut, there's something about to happen? Have you ever thought in your mind, something's going to go down right now? There's going to be a rattlesnake just come around the corner and bite and kill me. Just kidding. Have you ever had something that is just, whether it be good or bad, you just know something is around the corner? And one of the things that God needs us to learn in life, it's knowing how to learn for the rattle, to listen to for the rattle. I don't know if any of us, had little baby rattles when those little wonderful, sweet little cutie pies were so cute and little and had diapers and smelled like baby powder and it was so wonderful. And you gave them a little rattle and they jiggle, 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 right, the little rattle. To learn to listen for the rattle of God, the rattle of the noise. God is coming. God is moving. God is about to show up, and God is about to do something, one that I've been asking for, one that I've been praying for. God is coming. God is going to move. God is going to do something beyond my expectations. God is going to do, whether it is for me, whether it is for my family, whether it's for my friends, I can hear the noise. I just sense something. Thing that God is about to move. There's a story one time, 1 Kings 19:11, and there was a man named Elijah, and it says that God brought him to this mountain, and Elijah wanted and he desperately needed to hear from the Lord. And it says that God sent a windstorm, but God wasn't in the windstorm. God sent a blast and an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. God sent a fire, but the Lord was on the fire. And then afterwards, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. One of the greatest things that we can do in life is learn to listen for that gentle whisper. There are things and tragedies that happen all throughout our life, and there are circumstances and situations that are good, bad, and ugly. But the greatest thing that we can do as people, as humanity, as people who read the Bible, is learning to listen for his voice and learning to listen for the rattle. Because if something's about to happen, there's an earthquake. How many of us want to be ready for that earthquake? If there's a great fire that's going to sweep through this valley, how many of us want to be ready to grab the things that are important to us, our computers and our tablets? Just kidding. We're going to grab pictures, right? If there's something that's going to be happening, wouldn't we want a warning? Wouldn't we want a noise? Wouldn't we want to know? And that's what the voice of God is. He was then and he is today. That voice of wonder, that voice of amazement, that voice that says, this is the way, this is what's coming. This is about to happen. This is about to happen. And at the very end of our text, he says to Ezekiel, all of this to say, for these people, I'm sharing this with you because their hope, it's gone. They have no hope. They have no faith. They have nothing left. And sometimes as people, because life and tragedy hits, sometimes we feel like we have nothing left to give. I'm not good anymore. I'm not good anymore. I can't do this anymore. This is the state that they were in. But he says to Ezekiel, this is what I want you to speak. This is what I want you to say. I will bring you back home. I will give you life. I am going to restore. I will give you back what was lost. I will give you your home and your land back to you. I will give you the peace and hope and joy that you're desperate for. And God says at the very end, speak to the people and let them know, I will do what I said I'm going to do. Now, Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Sounds like a great diet plan, right? He said, if you come to me, you will never be hungry again. If you come to me and believe in me, you will never be thirsty again. Describing humanity and one of our basic needs is what? To eat, to be filled, to be satisfied, to get fuel. So Jesus said, those who consume my word will never be hungry, will never be thirsty again. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. And how many of us from a very young age learned light is important? If the light is on, I feel what? Safe, secure. I can see my surroundings. I can see everyone and everything around me. But if it is pitch black and dark and scary, because we've watched too many scary movies, things get spooky, things are happening, and bats are flying around, and it's freaky. Darkness is actually a symbol of ignorance. Light, symbol of revelation. Jesus said, I am the light or the revelation of truth. Jesus said, I'm the gate, John 10:9. I'm the gate or I am a door. And those who come in through me will be saved. They will come in and go freely and they will find good pasture. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A shepherd leads, guides, protects, sometimes has to discipline those wacky sheep. A good shepherd will sacrifice his life to what? To protect the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one who will give my life for you. I give my life to protect you, to lead you, to guide you every step of the way. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Those who put their hope and trust in Jesus Christ, those who believe, those who ask Jesus into their life. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life, and those who believes in me will live again. And so this morning, if you put your hope and trust in Jesus, you will be a part of the resurrection life who gets to live again. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I'm truth, and I'm the life, and no one come to the Father except through me. And think about this for one second. Jesus said, I'm the way. So if you think about the way, I don't know if any of us live in just a really awkward location. where it's really hard to find, maybe down a long dirt road, up in the hills, around the corner, by that thorn bush over there, one tree on this side over here, then you'll find me. Jesus is the only one who said that he left heaven, came to the earth, and then what? Went back to heaven. So he's the only one who knows what? The way to heaven. And then he said, I am truth. Because all of us here, honesty is the best policy. The truth, what does the truth do? It sets us free. So those who embrace the way to know the truth does what? Sets us free. And Jesus said, to give life. John 15:1, he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. And if you think about a vine and a tree, something that has a branch with leaves on it, if the leaf falls off the branch, what happens? It dies. So Jesus said, I'm the vine, and if you stay connected to me, you will live. Jesus made seven statements, I am statements. I am these seven things. Seven in the Bible standing for completion, perfection, and sacrifice. Colossians 1:15, one of my favorite verses ever. Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God, he existed before anything, was created supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see, the things that we can't see. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything, and Jesus holds all things together. Is there anyone like him? Is there anyone who's ever come and is and will be anyone like this, like Phil Wickham's saying, like Jesus? His name is what? Is Jesus. Is there anything, anyone that comes remotely close to this guy, to this God? It is Jesus. So this morning, as we start to wrap up, got only another 45 minutes, right? This great story in Ezekiel. So we're shifting gears. We started out in first, second, third, right? Got into fourth. We were in Ezekiel. We were moving. We were going. And then we went into communion. And now we kind of close up where we started, which was Ezekiel. In this valley, there was dry bones. There was rattling. And there was four, not just one, four winds. The spirit that came upon Ezekiel, the spirit that is said to carry us, to lead us, to empower us. Acts 1:8 says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. The spirit of the Lord, right? Or Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. Acts 1:8 is, the spirit will give us the empowerment, a dynamite power. When the spirit comes upon me, Jesus promised, when the spirit comes upon you, you can be filled with his dynamic power. The Spirit of God consumed and carried Ezekiel. The Spirit of God is here this morning. The Spirit of God that is here this morning, his Holy Spirit, which is here this morning, to carry us, to lead us, to empower us, to fill us with the breath and the power of God Almighty, to give us words and the correct words to say, to know when the right time and the right moment is, to move us maybe out of dark, dry bone areas in our life, areas that we've allowed to cause some stink. It's like leaving. One of my customers gave us like 300 oranges last week, and we left it in a certain spot. And how many of us know if you leave any kind of food for a certain amount of time, what happens? It starts getting stinky, start getting some buggies around, starts turning colors and funky. But the sad thing is, sometimes in our life, spiritually, mentally, physically, we do the exact same thing. There's things in our life we leave unattended, and then it begins to look like this, a valley of dry bones. And thank God that he's a forgiving God. Thank God that he's a gracious God. But he needs us this morning to change our attitude. If there's any area of our life this morning that God is saying, it's a little dark and dingy in there. It's time to put up different drapes, you know, time to get the vacuum out, time to get some candles. God this morning is saying, your attitude reflects who I am. You've called yourself a believer, a follower, and so then your attitude, everywhere you go and everything you do, it is reflection of me. And if we're walking around, oh gosh, I just can't make it another day. And that's a poor reflection of our Creator. And we have to be careful to not let ourselves get stuck in the valley of the bones anymore. Thirdly, he spoke to Ezekiel. What did he say? I want you to prophesy. What does it prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? It is to speak the words of God that he puts inside of us. I am telling you, this is one of the most powerful things in the world. Most powerful thing. I learned at a very young age. I had a youth pastor who took me to the Wheelhouse, the lovely Wheelhouse here in Hemet, California. He says, we're going to go talk about Jesus. And how many 11, 12-year-olds back then, come on, we skateboarded, we rode bikes. You know, how many of us were like ready just to go out and talk about Jesus? But you know, we're like, okay, let's go. It's at the Wheelhouse, right? What could go wrong? Get to the Wheelhouse. We start walking around, and I open my mouth, and I start talking about a God that I heard about, but I didn't really know at that age. A God that I heard about, but I didn't truly know. But I can tell you in that moment, there was a seed planted in my heart. There is something so powerful when you open your mouth and you let the word come out. There's something so powerful about these things right here. Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Get this. This is crazy. How many of us the last 5 years have been told you need to do this, you need to consume this, you need to put this in you, and then you have a long life? There's only a couple things in the Bible that talk about having a long life. One, be nice to mom and dad, which is important, kids. And then secondly, control your mouth. You want to have a long life? It's not about what we consume, but it's what we allow to reflect from what we consume. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Do you want to live? Do you want to be alive? Watch what you say. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words, they're a tree of life. Gentle words are a tree of life. As a kid, there was nothing. I love climbing trees. I love climbing trees. I love climbing houses and roofs. I just like getting to the highest place and jumping up and down and doing fun things. I love climbing trees, feeling safe, secure. Wow, I got a better view up here. Gentle words are a tree of life. And if you're gentle with people, and if you're gentle with the words that you use, it will be like a tree that people feel safe and secure around you. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And my last verse about this, James 3:3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small little bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even through the winds are strong, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue, which we all got one, is a small thing that makes grand speeches. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Has there ever been a point in our life where we're not seeing the results that we'd like to see? Has ever been in a situation where we're just, for some reason, unhappy, uneasy, a little frustrated? And many times it's those moments because we looked around and we complained and we blamed others for the situations that we're in. And sometimes it comes back to maybe it's because of the words. Not others have spoken to me, but maybe this is a reflection of the words I spoke about myself. And maybe these are the words that I spoke about somebody else that I shouldn't have. Do you want to see change in yourself, change in people? Watch how you talk. Watch the attitude and the words that come out of your life. God says to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. Speak to the dry bones. Come to life. And there's areas today God is saying the very same thing. Speak to the dry, dead areas and speak to them and say, come to life in Jesus' name. The dead bodies that became bodies. What did he say? I want you to speak again and say, wind, fill their lungs. And so we, God asking us, we get to be a part of what he wants to do. We need to speak. God, fill my friends, my family, the strangers, this town, this valley. Speak life into this. One of the craziest things about life right now, and I have to catch myself sometimes, is we're in an election year. We're in an election year, and there's so many things happening around the world. But if we continue as God's children, God's sons and daughters, to talk about the negative things that are happening and going on, what are we doing? We're bringing death. God doesn't need us to talk about the election. God doesn't need us to talk about the negative things that are happening in the world. What does he say to do with your mouth? Speak life. What's he put you here to do? Speak life. Wherever you go and everything you do, speak life. Be the breath of fresh air that all, there's so many thousands and millions of people, they need. They're desperate for what? A breath of fresh air. And lastly, our title today is what? The Four Winds. And if you think about four winds, I don't know if you've ever seen wind come from every direction. And it's kind of a crazy thought. As God is speaking to Ezekiel and he says, you're going to call out. You're going to speak to the four winds. You're going to cause this valley to come alive. The most important part about this text is to understand we serve a God. We know a God who does things then in our minds, it's impossible. It's impossible. There's just no way. Luke 1:37, with God, nothing is impossible. Mark 11:22, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, you can speak, you can prophesy to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it may not happen that second, but it will be yours. When you're praying, first forgive anyone holding a grudge against, your Father will forgive your sins too. God wants to do things in our life to show us there's no other way but him. God wants to bring us into situations with family and circles and job-related stuff. And things happen. Why? So that God could show himself on whose behalf? On our behalf. God wants to show himself mighty on your behalf. God wants to show who he is through you. God wants to show that he is the God of the impossible, that he can cause the wind to come from where? All four directions. God, bring healing, bring breath. God, bring life, bring provision. God, bring me out of this mental, emotional mess where all four directions, God, only you in this moment have the power, God, to do something that only you can do. My last verse, Proverbs 3 and 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek God all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body, strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your money, with the best part of everything you produce. God will fill your barns, and your vats will overflow with good wine. So as we get ready to close this morning, the question becomes, is there anything that seems impossible in my life today? Is there anything that seems horrible, tragic, and horrific, and impossible? And this morning, maybe it's not us, maybe it's not the situations that we're currently facing, but maybe we know someone whose life seems it's really impossible right now. God wants to show himself today, and in this moment, on your behalf, he can do anything. He can cause a valley of dry bones to become living beings. God can resurrect. God can heal. God can provide. God can open doors. God can resurrect. God's Spirit is here this morning to do more than we can imagine. God's Spirit is here this morning that when we allow, because God's Spirit's a gentleman, doesn't force himself, doesn't overpower us and knock us out. God's Spirit is a gentleman just waiting to be invited in, to be filled, to speak, to live the impossible in me, God, today. God, for myself, for my family, for my friends, for every single person I come into contact with this week, God, show us who you are and how great you are. Let's pray.